relax us and to prepare us.
Blessed Jesus, you are my first love. There is no other love that can compare. Blessed Jesus, it is your holy love, and it is your perfect love that draws us to you. Blessed Jesus, you are my first love. There is no other love that can compare. Blessed Jesus, it is your holy love. It is your perfect love that draws us to you. There's no other love that we desire. There's no greater love that we could ever know. Oh, blessed Jesus, you are my first love. There is no other love that can come. Jesus, it is your holy love, it is your perfect love that draws us to you. Oh, it draws us to you.
Thank you for the opportunity that we have in your house today, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, wonderful pastors of Shijavani. It is a blessing to be here. And this morning, I want to share with you something that is going to catapult you into your destiny. Amen. Now, God's plan for you is simply amazing. Amen. God's plan for you is simply amazing. He has a plan to make you far greater than you could ever imagine. Amen. And that is what you must aim for. If you aim for anything less, you are going to have, you are not going to be in the will of God. Amen. Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 17. When Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Amen. And I will make my covenant between me and thee. And Abraham fell on his face. And he says, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Amen. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations I have made thee. Amen. Verse 6 is the verse we are looking for. It says, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Amen. This is the destiny for someone who is the seed of Abraham. There are only two things you must expect from yourself: nations or kings. I will make you exceeding fruitful. Nations shall come out of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. So your destiny is very bright. Your future is very great. Nations or kings. And a nation can be like sometimes a denomination of churches. Nations. A king can be somebody like a leader, a strong leader, and a great leader of many people. On the other hand, a king could also be in business. The Bible says he has made us kings and priests. The kings are like secularly. We are great in the secular world in business, and priests, we are great in the ministry world. So your destiny is, bright in any way you want to look at it. God has something fantastic out to come out of you. Amen. And as pastors and church workers, you must believe the word of God. Otherwise, you cannot have a good report. All right? You cannot have a good report because you don't believe great things when they are told to you. And God is telling you something great. That we all sing the song, Abraham's blessings are mine. I'm blessed in the morning, I'm blessed in the evening. Abraham's blessings are mine. I'm the seed of Abraham. We, the Gentiles, have been grafted in, and we are now the seed of Abraham. And he says, I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and nations shall come out of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. So God is bringing forth great people and great things, and great nations and groups of people. So when you see a pastor whose church is very small and whose ministry is not looking like something like a nation, and a pastor who is not looking like a king, then we are wondering whether, whose seed are you? Are you Abraham's seed? And whose seed are you? So God has something far greater. You know, I am a trained medical doctor. I went to medical school in 1982. And I finished in 1989. 7 years I was in university doing medicine. And I came out of that to do the work that I'm doing in the ministry. And I didn't come out of that to go lower. God doesn't call you to demote you. Yes. God doesn't call you to reduce you. I've never seen God reducing anybody. God calls you to increase you. He said, you are the salt of the world. What is salt? Salt, I am sure everybody here has used salt in the last 2 days. If you've used salt in the last 2 days, raise your hand. Yes, everybody eats salt. Without it, everything is different. So you are the salt of the world means that you will be needed in the world. That's your destiny. You'll be needed and you'll be called for all the time. People will need you, and God will need you, and people will need to hear from you because you are the salt of the world. Amen. Amen. You are a city set on a hill. God has a plan to make you very, very great. Outstanding. Say outstanding. So when you look at your small church, which is not outstanding, and as a pastor, you are struggling to even move forward, you realize that you are not looking like the destiny that God has for you. Amen. And that is why we came here this morning to share with you about God's destiny for you as a person and as a minister is to make you a great nation. Amen. Why did I step out of medicine? Because I was stepping into something greater, something higher. Yes. You think if I was a doctor in the hospital this morning, I will have this man who just spoke to you, is a medical doctor. He's a specialist radiologist, even lectured at the medical school. He has a number of degrees. This one standing here filming is a medical doctor as well. I am surrounded by so many professionals and doctors who are working for the Lord. You think if I was in the consulting room, the only people would have been nurses and some of these lab assistants would have been around me. Yeah. God called me to go higher, and he's calling you to go higher as well. He's calling you to do something great and to become great in the ministry. And I want you to believe, Sishavani pastors, you are called to be great in ministry and to serve the Lord. Amen. So I need you to have that mind that you are called to something great. Now, you can be called into something great, but you will not see most of it. One day there was a man who went on, I don't know if you know, but before there were flights from Europe to America, the only way was to go by ship. You have to go by ship. Even Ghana, you know, to England and back, it was by ship mostly. I have been on a ship when I was a child. I went on a ship. We didn't have aeroplane. We used a ship to go from Ghana to England. So in those days, you go from Ghana to England, and even, I'm sure Zimbabwe too, they may also have ships at a point. Now, one day there was this man who went on a ship. And if you've ever been on a ship, I've been on a ship a number of times. There are many things in a ship you can't believe. You know, you see the ship like that, but it is several floors deep. Like it can be 12 stories with lifts going down, up, down. So many things they are doing every floor. They have swimming pools, table tennis. When I was on a ship once, my father played table tennis, a table tennis competition. And there's so many things that we do, restaurants, eat and all that. So there was this man who was going from America back to Europe. And he saved all his money and he went on the ship. You know, so when he went on the ship, it took about some days. And as they were on the ship, you know, people were having a good time and all that. And he was just watching all of them, some in the swimming pool, some here, some there, different things they were doing. On the last day of the journey, one of the stewards, the waiters of one of the restaurants, saw him and said to him, "Sir, You have not been to the restaurant. I mean, because we know all the people who come to the restaurant. You have not been at all. Is there any problem that you've not come to the restaurant at all? Like throughout the whole journey, so many days we've been on the water. And the man said, oh no, there's no problem. I don't have any problem at all. Is it the food you don't like? He said, oh no, no. He said, I couldn't afford it. You know, so I had some biscuits. Do you know cabin biscuits? Do you know cabin biscuits? It's a type of biscuit called cabin biscuits. If you are very poor, that is the biscuit that you eat. He said, I bought some cabin biscuits because I couldn't afford that. And that's what I've been, you know, that's why I've not come to a restaurant. The waiter, the steward almost fell. I said, how? This restaurant is part of the ticket. All that. Everybody here, nobody pays. Anybody who is on the ship is automatic. You don't pay to come here. You know? He couldn't believe it. And the land was here. They have arrived. And you see, this man went on the entire journey never enjoying the things that were part of his package. May that not be your story in the name of Jesus. Could it be that you are going on a journey of ministry and life, never enjoying certain things that are part of your calling? Could it be? It could be. It could be. So, today, I want to show you the master key to entering the different aspects and rooms that exist. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Say, nations are coming out of me. Kings are coming out of me. I have only two options. Say, I have only two options. I will either be a nation or a king.
Either be a nation or a king.
Amen. Can you read it?
Matthew chapter 16 verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven.
I will give you the keys. Everybody say keys.
Keys.
When there are keys, there are what? Doors. If you give me the key to this hall, all right, it means you've given me the key to the door. I don't know. Look at the door here. I don't know where it goes. But when you go through this door, you are entering a room and we don't know what is there.
Yeah.
So even though I've been welcome here, I've not been welcome to that room. Nobody has asked me to go there. And nobody has told me what is there. So there are keys. Our kingdom has keys. If you are part of the kingdom of God, there are keys and there are rooms. Okay? So the fact that you are in the kingdom does not mean that you can be in all the rooms.
Oh,
yes. You can be in the kingdom because I will give you the keys. I'll give you the keys. So many of us don't have the keys. That's why we are sitting there and we are not enjoying or entering into things that God has ordained for us.
Teaching.
Amen. Luke 11:52.
Luke chapter 11 verse 52. Woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered.
You have taken away the key of what?
Knowledge.
The key of knowledge. Knowledge is a key.
Whoa.
Key of knowledge. You have taken taken away is the key of knowledge. And you have even prevented people from entering by taking away the key. And what is the key? Knowledge.
Wow.
Amazing. Wow. Amazing. That is why miracles are not part of your ministry. Because there is a key of knowledge to open the door of miracles. That is why church growth is not part of your life and ministry. Church growing is not, your church doesn't grow. Because you don't have the key to church growth. There are keys. And the key of knowledge. This book, Church Growth, contains the key to church growth. There are 18 sections in this book. You see, years ago, I had a small church with about 25 people in my church. My church wouldn't grow. No matter what I was doing, my church wouldn't grow. How many have seen a church like that? No matter what, it doesn't grow. Hey. One day I went somewhere and a pastor told me, I have a problem. It was a medical problem. It was his daughter. He said, my daughter, she was like this height. And he told me she was about 15 years old. You know, but very short. And he was explaining that, you know, they are worried about her size. No matter what she eats, she doesn't grow. Yes. And my heart was broken, and I showed him a doctor that I knew who may have a key to unlocking the growth of his daughter. Yes. So that daughter is like your church. And you should be worried, as that pastor was worried. He's my friend. He was worried about his daughter's height. Because it's very, very short. 15 years old. Very, very short like this. Almost at my belt. Yes. And you look at your church for so many years. You've been a pastor. You are not worried. You are happy. I said, you are happy. You are not a good pastor. Yes. If you are not worried about the church. So he says, I will give you the key of knowledge. So you see, pastors will see a book mentioning the topic that is most necessary for your life, and that is what you will not spend money for. I mean, it is amazing. I have not seen anybody in Zimbabwe who is lean. Thin. I've not seen even one thin person in Zimbabwe. Nobody in Zimbabwe is losing weight. No. Since I came, I've been to Kadoma, Gweru, Kwekwe, Victoria Falls, Gwanda, Bainbridge, Bulawayo, Kwekwe. No thin person. There is money for food. And there is food in Zimbabwe. But you will see people will look at a book and say, ah, how much is it? $10. Ah, it's too much. True. Pastors are not prepared to buy the key to the room that if they were to enter, the room is surrounded with treasures. Look, those of you who are who don't know, church building is the best work in the world. You see, people don't respect their church. That is why it is not a blessing. As I stand here, it's the church that is supporting me. How do you think I came here? You are not the ones paying for the crusade. Did you pay for the crusade? What have you paid for the crusade? Do you pay me? You pay anybody here? Have you paid for anything? You've paid for nothing. The church is mighty and strong. Yes. The church is a very powerful thing. If the church is strong and big, it's not a small thing. Yeah. You don't respect church. That's why you don't build church. If you respect church, you will say, give me church growth. Give me mega church. Give me church planting. Teach me, pastor, how it is to church, to plant a church, to build a mega church. Mega church. We have mega church. I'm standing on 3,000 churches as I'm speaking to you. Yes, 3,000 churches. I'm standing on it and I'm talking to you. Yes. church planting. Church planting. I'm standing on that foundation to be here. If I don't have that foundation, I cannot stand here. You don't respect what great thing God has given to you. That is why it is nothing to you. You don't know what is a church. You watch and see in Zimbabwe. Political parties will come and go, but the church will be there. Yes. The white man ruled this country. He is gone. The church is still there. Apartheid came, is gone. The church is still there. The church is a very powerful thing. You cannot do away with the church easily. You cannot do away with the church. So when you give yourself to church, you are giving yourself to something that is eternal and mighty. The Bible says in the last days it shall come to pass that the house of the Lord shall be, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and all nations shall flow into it. It shall be exalted above the hills. The church will be mightier and greater than you can ever imagine. You are joking with the church that God has given to you. Listen, this is one of the best topics ever. Transform your pastoral ministry. Look at how you are as a pastor. How many members? Most of the chairs in your church are empty. You have just a few children coming to church. Pastor has a big car with a nice suit, but there is nobody to preach to. Hey. Hey. There is nobody to preach to. Pastor with a big car, with a big suit, but nobody to preach to. Your ministry can be changed. The word transform means change. I was once a pastor of 20. This, my whole church would be 1, 2, 3, 4 rows here like this. I preached to them. But one day God transformed my ministry, my pastoral ministry. You see, you can be a great shepherd or an ordinary shepherd, or you can be a mighty good shepherd. But you need to know, you see, and you can, look, everything, we have good and bad. We have good presidents, bad presidents. Good doctors, bad doctors. Good pastors, bad pastors. Good lawyers, bad lawyers. There are some lawyers, if you take them in your case, you will lose, by all means. Because even they don't care whether you win or lose. Yes. You will lose by all means. There are some doctors, if they treat you, you will die. It's true. It's not a joke. There are some doctors, if they treat you, you will die. The way they will handle you, go and come, go and come, go and come. You will die. In the same way, there are pastors who are good pastors, and there are pastors who are useless pastors. All right? So God wants to give you the key. And the key is the key of knowledge. Amen. Now, Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. And we are going to read from verse 2, if you have it.
Proverbs 24, verse 2.
Yes.
For their heart studieth destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And they are
okay, read from verse 1 then, if you.
Proverbs 24, verse 1.
Yes.
Be not thou envious against evil men.
Mm-hmm.
Neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction. And their lips talk of mischief.
Okay, so that's fine. Now, verse 3, 4, and 5.
Verse 3. Through wisdom is an house builded.
Through wisdom is a house builded. Through what?
Wisdom.
Wisdom is a house builded. And what?
And by understanding, it is established.
By understanding, it is established. Okay? The next verse.
And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches.
Amen. So what is this scripture saying? I'll read the last one later. Through wisdom, a house is built. The house of God is built by wisdom. Yeah. The house of God is built by wisdom. What wisdom? That is what we are here to share with you. Through wisdom. And that is the wisdom you need to get. With all you're getting, get understanding. Get wisdom, but we don't like it. When it's presented to us, we don't want it. When the key is given to us, the Bible says, through wisdom a house is built. The house is built with wisdom. And by understanding, it is established. That's why we wrote these books here, Loyalty and Disloyalty. Through disloyalty, your house is, what is the opposite of established? Destroyed. Disloyal people will destroy churches. Those who accuse you will destroy you. A man is like a cripple. A human being is like a cripple. You see, a cripple is somebody who cannot walk well. When you point fingers at his walking, and say, look at how you are walking. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, look at it. You see, you can't walk well. Everybody, see, I've got evidence that you can't walk well. You are not achieving anything. You are pointing out the obvious. Accusations are pointing out the obvious. You are pointing out our failures. But we know that we are failures. It's only in Christ that we are something. You are pointing to us what is already there. We are human beings. Our frame is weak. So when you accuse me or you accuse us, you are not achieving anything. Satan's work is to accuse and weaken the church. But through understanding, you can fight accusers. Yes. The Bible says, cast out the scorner and strife shall cease. Contention shall go out. Proverbs
22 and verse 10. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease.
Wow.
Cast out the scorner.
Cast out the scorner. Many years ago, I had a scorner as an assistant. He was not respecting my calling. And I was also 25 years old, 24 years old, and he was not respecting my calling. He criticized my preaching. He said I didn't know how to preach. They criticized whether I was called by God. They were not sure whether I knew how to preach, whether I knew. Hey, they accused me every day. And they had meetings about me every day. When they see me, they all be quiet. And they come and sit in the front there. And one day I had a dream. And in the dream, I was a boxer. I was wearing red shorts and my opponent was wearing blue shorts. And we fought throughout the dream. And suddenly I woke up. When I woke up, I was shocked as I lay down because do you know who the boxer was? The boxer was not the devil. The boxer was a lady who used to sing before I preach. Yeah. Not knowing that this lady plus the pastor, assistant pastor and others, they were having meetings, discussing me, talking about this and that all the time. Hey. So when I saw the scripture, Bible says, by understanding the house is established, I said, cast out the scorner. So I called for a meeting. After that dream, I called for a meeting. And this is the scripture I read. This one, I read it. God said, this is it. Do it. Cast out the scorner. By understanding it is established. You don't advise the devil. You don't counsel Lucifer. You don't have negotiations with the accuser of the brethren. You don't have negotiation with the accuser of the brethren. Me, anybody who accuses me, I don't discuss with you. No. The Bible says, cast out the scorner, throw them out. So I called for a meeting. I said, hey, you, and you are always discussing me, talking about me, that I'm not called, that I'm this. And I said, there is no need in pointing to a cripple that he cannot walk well. There's no point in telling me that I am filled with sin or with lust or with lies or with all those things are true. Who here is not a liar? Are you not you? Have you not told lies before? More than 100, I am sure. Yes. So I told the brother, out. 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 From today, never come to this church again. Never come to this church again. Finish. Hey! In French, we say, chasser le moqueur. Cast out the moqueur. And I cast out. You see, the Satan's name is the accuser. You don't negotiate with an accuser. You cast an accuser out of your life. And he went out. From that day, that was in 1988 till today. Bible says contention and reproach shall go out. When he went out, all the people he was discussing, they all left the church. We were left with few. But you will learn when you have understanding that you can do more with few loyal people than with a lot of people complaining and talking about things all the time. Give me 2-3 loyal people than 20 disloyal people. I don't need them at all in my life. I don't like you at all. I don't want you in my life. From that day, we were just a few. Myself, my wife, who was not yet my wife, few friends, and so on. The same people. Up till today, we are the same. We are together. Yes. And through that, those few people, we have been able to build so many churches. And that's how come we are here today in Shishavani, a town I've never heard of since I was born. Till yesterday that I heard of it. I've never heard of Shishavani since I was born. But I'm here. Is it not amazing?
It's amazing.
That is the power of loyalty. That's the power of loyalty. Yes. You cast out. You throw them out. The Satan's name is the accuser. He says that strength, power, and salvation has come because the accuser of the brethren is cast out. Power, strength, and salvation. It means you have no power. It means you are weak. It means you are not saved when accusers are freely talking about you and freely moving around in the church. You see, by wisdom the church is built. By understanding, it is established. You have members, pastors, who are dangerous sons. Dangerous sons. This This man who was preaching is my son in the ministry. I officiated his wedding. I counseled him, officiated his wedding, appointed him as a pastor when he was a student. He was a student. He was in medical school when I appointed him. I said, you be a pastor. Yes. I transferred him. I said, go here, come here. I invited him, come and work for God full time. I consecrated him as a bishop. I gave him a church. I said, this one is for you. All these places for you. There are people who are dangerous. You will bring them up. You will do a lot of things for them. And they will turn against you like a snake turns on you. You know? One day, a lady who loves wild animals, who feeds them, protects them, cares for them, she went to stand in front of a tiger's cage, you know. And she's somebody who, there are people who care for wildlife. I knew a lady like that in Ghana. They care for wildlife. They make zoos. And so she was just standing in front of the cage like this. And the tiger was also behind the bars. To everybody's surprise, the tiger removed the arm through the bars and took the woman's shoulder with the claws and removed the shoulder. Yeah. So she became a one-arm lady. And they even asked her whether they should kill the tiger. She said, no, it's okay. Yes. You see, there are people, you care for them. They are like this tiger. Hey. You put them in a zoo. Hey. You feed them. You do everything for them. They are the very people that will attack you to remove the shoulder that you are using to feed them. Hey! Dangerous sons. Tiger sons. Do you remember a man called Noah? He had three boys, three sons. He looked after them. He liked his boys. So when he preached in the whole world, nobody got saved. He told his sons that, look, as for you, I will not preach to you. Enter the boat by force. And he took them into the boat. And the rain came and flood drowned everybody in the world. And his three sons were standing on the boat like this, looking at the water. They were seeing dead bodies everywhere. They said, hey, daddy has saved us. When the boat came to the ground, one day Noah, their father, who saved them with their wives, drank alcohol and he naked himself in the tent. Yeah. Hey. And one of his sons, who used to stand on the balcony of the ship looking at the water and all the dead bodies, saw his father's nakedness and came to report and told everybody in town what he saw. Hey. And his other two brothers heard of it. And they said, no. So they came into the room and they turned their backs and walked backwards like this. They said, we don't care and we don't know and we don't want to see and we don't want to know the stories that we are hearing. And they covered their father. Two types of sons. Those who cover their fathers and those who humiliate their fathers. Those who do what? Those who cover their fathers and those who humiliate their fathers. When Noah woke up, he said, you are mocking me. Me, you are mocking me. And he started to speak curses. One day, a certain lady, her daughter was disturbing her. And he told her daughter, you will be tired in this life. You will be tired. And truly, she's tired. Hey, Another lady, she told her daughter, you will sell beans. Do you know beans? Do you have beans? Yes. The daughter was studying something, computers, science, something, whatever. She told the daughter, you will sell beans. And truly, the daughter did master's everything, came to sit by the roadside to sell beans. She's selling beans today. You must be careful when you are dealing with fathers and authority figures. When they speak a word. Greatness comes from blessings. Greatness comes from blessings that are spoken. Deterioration comes from curses that are spoken in people's lives. God told Abraham, I will bless you and make your name great. Greatness comes from a blessing that is spoken into your life. A pastor described, he said, he was a young man, I think about 20 years old. He had hardly got anything in this world. And his mother, who had cared for him, he went and bought a set of chairs for his mother and brought to his mother. And when he gave the chairs to his mother said, what are you doing? He says, Mama, I brought this for you. So she turned to him and asked him, how will you eat? He said, don't worry about me. She looked at her son and said, you will be great. You will be great. Those words carried this man into the greatness that you cannot imagine. My friend, you people are joking with blessings and curses. He says, I will bless you and you shall be great. Your name will be great. When Noah woke up and saw what Ham did, he spoke. He said, you'll be a servant of servants. Now, let us take the master, okay? Then you have the servant who stays in the boys' quarters outside. Will he be rich usually? No. Now, that servant, will he build a house usually? No. Will he have a car usually? No. Now, that servant has a servant. Will he build a... The servant is not able to... What about the servant's servant? These are the words that were spoken to Ham, who was the father of Ethiopia, Egypt, Sudan, and all the African nations. Can be the only explanation if you look at even Zimbabwe. Look at a very great nation. Not only Zimbabwe, every single African nation has the same story. You people don't travel. If you travel, you will see, and a curse is what we call inexplicable. You can't explain it. Like it beats your. You can't even understand. Like it doesn't make sense. Sons must be careful with fathers. You must be very careful. You must be very careful. Seek blessings. You know, in Isaiah 65, a beautiful verse in verse 8, it says that, destroy it not, for there is a blessing in it. Don't destroy it, there is a blessing in it. Anybody who has a blessing inside you, you can't be destroyed, because there's a blessing in you. So understanding, what is a dangerous son? And some of you are dangerous sons. That's why you will never do well in the ministry. You are cursed sons who have fought your fathers, insulted your fathers, fought against those who lifted you up. It's what we call those who forget. Those who, you've forgotten what has been done for you. That's another book for you right there. I wrote a book for each one of these accursed group of people. Ish! Those who forget. When they laid hands on you, you forgot. When they taught you, you forgot. When you were saved through them, you forgot. You know, many years ago, there was a girl, you know, she was discussing me whether I was called. She was having a discussion. They were saying, I'm not called. And I was wondering, because before that time, I took my guitar And I went to the hostel where she was a nursing student. And I took my guitar and I stood outside at 5 a.m. dawn. There was no light. And I played my guitar and I sang myself. Greater love has no man than this love. Jesus Christ gave up his life for us all. Your mother may love you. Your father may love. And I was playing my guitar. But none can die for you. The love of Jesus. And she was listening inside. The love of. She was in her room. The love of Jesus surpasses all. I woke up at 4 and came to the hostel to play my guitar and sing. And when I finished, I clapped my hands and I preached. And I said, if you want to give your life to Christ, come. She came out. She gave her, lifted her hand with other girls. She gave her life to Christ. Later, she was saying that I am not called. This person is saying that I'm not called by God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Those who forget. Yes. Those who forget. They are very dangerous people, I tell you. I have a book for each group of accursed children. Those who are ignorant. You may think you know. When you see me standing here preaching, you think, oh, when I hold this book, I can give all these examples and I can preach. But what you don't know is that when a goat is sweating, you cannot see it. So you think that he's not sweating, but he's sweating. When you stand there, you see that you sweat. And you see that it's not a small thing. As you thought it was nothing. Yes. It looks easy, but it's not as easy. Are you not in Zimbabwe? Are you not the people who had all the farms? When you had the farms, were you able to make it work? It looked easy, but not as easy. It looked easy, but not as easy. Yes. You can shout and say, hey, we want it. We do the... When you have it, what can you do? You can have all the church, everything. It looks easy, but it's not easy. That's why you don't criticize before you understand what is happening. Not as easy as it looks, huh? Not as easy as it looks. You see me, you criticize. Some of you criticize me before I come here, you speak against me. Hey! Why don't you as a Zimbabwean come to Ghana and preach in Ghana? Why don't you buy even one car and come there? Drive to Ghana and let us see. Do you know the way how to drive to Ghana from your car? Why don't you do that? And you are criticizing me. What have I done that you are criticizing me? Criticizing me, you say, I'm doing this, I'm coming to do this, I'm doing this, I'm doing whatever. Why don't you take a car and come? Why don't you come and plant a church? As I've planted churches in Zimbabwe, in Harare, in Bindu, we have our own buildings. Why don't you do that? Instead of opening your big mouth to talk about what you don't understand. Those who are ignorant. You may sing and chant, but when you sit behind the wheel, you see that you are totally incompetent. Yeah. Incapable. Yeah. Incapable. Yeah. Those who are ignorant. Yeah. Hey! Yeah. And those who pretend. Yeah. Those who pretend. Yeah. Hey! I have a book for each one. Yes. Very dangerous people. There are people who are always smiling with you, but their hearts are not with you. Judas was the smoothest, slyest, slickest pretender you have ever seen. No one knew. Even Peter, Thomas, Nobody suspected for one second that Judas would do this. He was trusted with money. Yes. He was trusted. He was trusted. He was a master pretender. Yes. Master pretender. Master pretender. And through this book, you uncover them. You say, hey, I see you. Because there are ways. In this book, Loyalty and Disloyalty, we talk about 39 signs of disloyalty. Yes. You see, when Amnon raped his sister Tamar, after he raped his sister Tamar, the Bible says, Absalom said to his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad for 2 years. When he sees him, he doesn't say anything bad. He doesn't say, you see, I'll kill you. No. He doesn't say anything good. He doesn't say anything bad for 2 years. Then after 2 years, he invited him to a party. And when he was at the party, you know, if Amnon had read this book, he would not have gone to that party. You know, but after 2 years, he invited him to a party. And when he went for the party, his brother told his friend, he said, oh, when he arrived at the party, Absalom was at the gate. Welcome, how are you? Oh, brother Amnon, wow. How's it? Oh, who are these, your friends? Okay. Oh, hey. Oh, waiter, Aminu. Alas, come, take my brother, show him that, whatever, give that. Look, this is my brother, you know, it's my real brother. Same father, you know. This is, we are our king, David's our father. Take him, have some drink. Look, get him spring chicken. You like chicken? Oh, give him chicken. Give him chisanyama, everything. Very nice. And Amnon was happy. Happy. Eating. He had not read this book. That's why he was happy. In the middle of it, when he was drinking, Absalom, the perfect pretender, those who pretend, he said, that's my brother. Kill him. Stab him. And he showed him. He said, take it from the left side and swipe through. Swipe through the stomach and make sure you get him there. Yeah. No, I don't want any mistake today. I don't want any mistake. Like he's half alive. Maybe he will survive. I don't want anything like that. They killed him. Watch out for people who are always pretending. One day I went to preach in a church. When I finished preaching, the assistant pastor came and said, oh, pastor, we are so happy. Thank you. I said, thank you. He was pretending. He told his senior pastor, why is he preaching about loyalty? Because I preach about loyalty. The next year I was invited again. When I came, I think I forgot what I preached the year before, so I preached loyalty again. Sometimes it happens to me, you know. So I preach loyalty. Hey! Then he came again. It's his tradition. He sits on this side, the pastor preaches. So he gets up, he comes, he shakes hands. Oh, thank you very much. Smile. You will never suspect. It was his pastor who told me later. After I went, then he will tell the pastor, why is this man preaching about loyalty? Who told him that we are quarreling in this church? There is no need. Third year, I was invited. I preached again. I think I forgot what I preached the year before. So I preached loyalty again, the same thing. Again, he got up, came, thank you very much. When I left, he told the pastor, this loyalty thing is nonsense. He took the book like this and threw it on the ground. The person who shook my hand, I'm talking about those who pretend. The one who shook my hand, he took the book and threw it on. Then he stamped on it. He wanted the book to go down. Because the book was describing him. Watch out. For those who pretend. Yeah. Three or four weeks later, he was dead. Yes. You must be careful. Yes. He died a few weeks later. Listen. Those who leave you. Another dangerous group. Yes. It's the spirit of Jeroboam. It's the spirit of the prodigal son. I will leave my father's house. I will leave my father's house. That is why many of us are nothing in ministry. Because the prodigal son became nothing. You see, his father put on him a ring. It means nothing. A robe, it means nothing. Shoes, it means nothing. All was nothing. He told his elder brother, all that I have is for you. This man is a pauper. He's nothing. A lot of nothing pastors are all prodigal, rebellious pastors. That's why they are nothing. All that I have is thine. These rebels, he took everything, squandered his position, his anointing, his privilege, his sonship, he spoiled it all. You don't do that when God gives you something. Don't spoil your position. Don't spoil the opportunity that you have. Those who leave you, they are very dangerous people. Hey, one person who leaves you can spoil the church. Because just before they leave, you know what they do? They get up and they urinate in the front of the church. Ezekiel 34. They spoil the residue so that anyone who comes finds a foul smell in the church. And when they come there, they say, ah, we hear that there's a story, the pastor. Have you heard also? Have you found it? Read it.
Ezekiel 34, verse 17. Mm. And as for you, O my flock, thus said the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture. But ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet.
Yes. You see, you foul it.
Yes.
You foul my sheep. You spoil it before you leave. That's what people do when they are leaving. They spoil the church so that when you come, you don't feel happy in the church anymore. And they spread stories. Ah, you know, when they ask, why did you leave? Oh, I don't want to say anything, you know. You know, but there are a lot of things going on. You know, it's not everything we can say. You know, you just imagine anything that can be bad, it has happened before. I've seen it before.
Foul it.
And they will give proverbs. They say, when a snake comes from under the water and tells you that there is a crocodile there, you must believe him. Because he is from under. When I come out of this church and I tell you the problem there, you must believe me because I'm from there.
Hey!
Hey! It's a man of proverbs. So this wisdom is what will establish your church. Yes. This wisdom will help you to grow it. Church growth, mega church planting. These books will help you to grow it. These ones will help you to become a good pastor, as you should be. The art of shepherding. What it means to be a shepherd. And what it means to become a shepherd. And transform your pastoral ministry. Your ministry will be transformed. Right here. And then this one would help you to become a good leader, which is our problem in Africa. A good leader of your church. Wow. And this one will help you to defend the church you are building from wicked people who spoil the church. Yes. And this one is the only book that God spoke to me in a dream to write. Tithing. Why non-tithing Christians become poor and how tithing Christians can become rich. Tithing is the miracle of church financial growth. This book, it has transformed many churches' finances. This only this book. Even by sharing it into the congregation, reading and teaching it. Yes. But you see, that's what the Bible says. By wisdom a house is built. By understanding it is established. You have the key. God is trying to put a key into your hand. A key that will open to you these doors and these rooms. Yes. And you rarely find these topics. If you check, you see. You ask pastors looking for books. You know, because these books are not written for financial reasons. If I wanted finance, I would not write a book like Losing, Suffering, Sacrifice, and Die. No. Who wants to lose? Who wants to suffer? Who wants to sacrifice? And who wants to die? But this book is the master key to power in the church. You see, 1 Corinthians 1, or Romans 1, or 1 Corinthians 1, it says that the preaching of the cross is the power. Is the power, 1 Corinthians. Is the power of God. Amen. And so when we preach the power of God, 1:18, when we preach the power of God, when we preach the cross, we see the power of God. Read it.
For the preaching, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
Ah.
But unto us which are saved.
Ah.
It is the power of God.
It is the power of God. Amen. And to us which are saved, it is the power. Everybody say, it is the power.
It is the power of God.
It is the power.
It is the power.
Preaching of what? Preaching of what? Prosperity?
No.
No. Preaching of the cross is the power. That's where the power is. Not in preaching of prosperity. Preaching of the cross, it gives power. Power comes through the cross. Power for your religion comes through the cross and suffering. Not money. That's why you are poor. That's why you don't have anything. Because money doesn't come by preaching prosperity and forcing Christians to believe false doctrines. No! Power. Every religion's source of power is in the sacrifice. Look at our brothers with the other religion. They are believing in suicide. They kill themselves. They do that. Their religion is growing more power. It's not getting weaker. Don't think that people are against it. It's becoming stronger. It's taking over nations. Stronger. Christianity is decreasing because we like ourselves. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to die about anything. Pastors don't preach the truth about the cross. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. If anyone come to me, let him deny himself and follow me. Philippians 1 says, we are called not only to believe, but also to suffer. You can't take it and throw it away. Out of the church. You are throwing away the power of the church. That's the thing that gives the power. It's a small thing, but it's the main thing. Yes. One day, a young man, you know, he thought he was a really powerful man. He had so many girlfriends. Each girlfriend he has, when he finishes sleeping with her, she will be singing his praises. You are a mighty man of valor. You are Hercules. You are Tarzan. You are Samson. Hey, so he felt very powerful. And one day, he got married. Hercules himself got married. After 1 year, there was no child. After 2 years, no child. 3 years, Hercules, Tarzan, Samson, Rambo, no child. 5 years, no child. Hey! So he went to do the test. for his sperms. And when he did the test, there was not even one single sperm. It means what was coming out, and the girls were praising him that you are powerful, you are Hercules, you are Tarzan, you are Rambo. It was just water. But the element which has the life and the power, that one was not there. Just water. You see, many churches have certain appearance of good power, this, but the element that gives the power has been taken out. The cross, you've taken the cross out. You throw away sacrifice. You throw away suffering. You throw away losing. You cannot do that. You've taken away what gives us life. That is why HIV in the church is the same as HIV in the world. If you sample HIV sample here and HIV in people who don't go to church, is the same. Because all Christians don't suffer anymore. We cannot control ourselves anymore. We cannot do what is right again. Yes. True or not true? Yeah, you've all become quiet. There is one thing that gives power to the church. It's sacrifice. Yeah. I want to see Zimbabweans going into all the world. I don't see any Zimbabwe. I've not seen any Zimbabwe. This is a Zimbabwean who's going to start a church in Nigeria. A Zimbabwean who's going to start a church in Ghana. A Zimbabwean who's going to start a church in Mali or Togo. Or a Zimbabwean who has gone to learn French and gone to live in Mali or Niger. You have left it for other religions. And you are sitting there criticizing Nigerians for coming to start churches in Zimbabwe. You are speaking, you are criticizing what you don't understand. You've done nothing yourself. No power to even move out of Zimbabwe. Even from here to Kwekwe, you cannot go. Proverbs 24 verse 3. By wisdom, a house is builded. How many are going to build the house of God with wisdom? That is what I've come to share with you. I'm showing you this, but I cannot preach for 20 hours sharing with you. I'm showing you this is the wisdom that you need. I'm giving you the key. And by understanding, you must understand, the house will be established. And by knowledge, the chambers. You see, knowledge is always associated with rooms. The rooms will be filled with all pleasant and precious riches. Riches come through knowledge. And you see that Africans don't like reading. True or not true? They say if you want to hide a secret from an African, put it in a book. He will never see it. It will be hidden there. He will never open the book and he will never see it. You are delivered from that curse today in the name of Jesus. Yes. So today I am showing you this collection of books called the Makarios. Makarios. Yes. It has all these books here. And one book costs at least about $10. The big ones are more. So there are 40 books in this wonderful library, well presented in this library. It's a whole library. It stands by its own. So this costs just $400 to $500, about $450. Hallelujah. Is it a blessing? Is it too expensive to have knowledge? No. It's a key. Now, to make it even easier, I've decided to make a special blessing for all pastors here in Shishavani. Instead of $450, I'm going to give this. It's, I know it's a gift, and the Victoria Falls pastor said it. You have dashed it to us. I'm going to give this to you for $55 only. Yes. Yes. I know that I'm giving it away, but I'm doing that because we are not doing business here. We are doing ministry. Those who are doing business are not in this room here now. We are doing ministry. $55 for all the books I'm talking about, they are all in it. It's numbered. Each one has a number. And my books are very famous and spreading all over the world. We have over 50 million published. People, yeah. It's very, very popular for pastors and people who are working in the church. Yeah. We came to share with you a master key. And key, the keys of knowledge. It says, by knowledge shall all the chambers be filled with precious and pleasant riches. Precious things, precious people will be in your church. Pleasant people who will bring pleasant and precious riches will be in your church and fill the rooms. What a blessing. Hallelujah. 40 books. Amen. There are 3 books, however, that are not part of it because they were written after this Macarius was launched. 1, 2, 3. They are not part of it because they were written after this one was made. A good general. And yes, very powerful book. What it means to be as wise as a serpent. And those of you who said, the book, there are no pictures in the book. This is my only book with pictures. What it means to be as wise as a serpent. So those of you who want pictures, there's one in this book. And the anointed and his anointing. The anointed. You know, one day I had a vision. And an angel came into my office downstairs. And the angel was carrying a jar. And the jar was full of ashes of a dead person. And the angel said to me, "This is your father in this bottle." I was shocked. Then he took a coat that he was carrying. And he said, "This is the coat that he was wearing. You must wear it. And you are going to wear it for some years. After that, you will have to take off this coat. Somebody else will wear it. And you will also go into a bottle. Ashes. But somebody else will carry it. Because what I am doing is by the anointing of the Spirit. So I'm actually wearing, if your eyes were open, you would see that I'm wearing a coat. Yeah. That coat is the anointing. It's called the mantle. Without it, he says, you cannot do very much. Yes. That is why Jesus told the disciples, don't even bother to go to try preaching. You'll just be a lecturer. You'll be a school teacher. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the anointing. Yes. Now, one more very wonderful thing that I want to share with you, which I can see. There are a lot of people here. You don't know this thing. I know it. I know you don't know it. That's why I want to share. It's the art of hearing and listening to teaching and preaching. Now, over here, we have something we call the Makane. God spoke to me some time ago to put together this thing, the Makane. All right? And the Makane is a set of preaching and teaching. Now, many pastors don't listen to preaching. This is a big problem because faith comes by hearing. You see, how did I believe Take the baby away, please. How did I believe that I could be a pastor? How did I believe to be an evangelist? You need faith before you can step in the ministry. People don't have enough faith for the ministry. And faith comes by hearing. Now, you need something to help you to walk in the walk. You see, right now I'm walking on my path of ministry as an evangelist, as a church planter. But the walk that you are going to walk is a walk. We walk by faith, which comes by hearing. So when you don't hear, you can't walk. When you don't hear, you can't walk your walk. Now, my life that I'm going to live as a minister, I'm no more living the life of a doctor. I'm living the life of a minister. I'm living the life of an apostle who is building churches and preaching the gospel. That life that I'm living now, the Bible says that just lives by faith. So if I don't hear and I don't hear certain things, how can I enter the life that God has called me for? One day I will stand before him. Whether I will have a good report or a bad report depends on the things I have believed and been able to obey. And the Bible says a good report comes by faith. By faith, the elders obtain a good report. So my good report depends on my faith, which is coming to me from the things I'm hearing. I'm hearing and hearing and hearing. So pastors who don't hear a lot, you can't live, you can't walk, you can't operate, you can't believe, you can't enter, you can't please God. Without faith, you can't please God. Without hearing, you can't please God. Without hearing, you can't please God. I'm telling you. Now, you see, in 1988 again, 1988 was quite an interesting year. In 1988, I was in medical school final year. I had about 7 months to finish. 7 months. I qualified in March, 89. One day, I was sent to a town like Shishavani, like Harare, Shishavani. So I was sent to Accra, the capital. Suhum is a town. And I had to be there in the rural area and listen. I had to practice, do certain things, go to the clinic, community health, do immunization, visit the slaughterhouse. Many things as a doctor I have to do and write it all out. So I did all my work. And one night, I was just alone in my room praying. And I was listening to the person I've been listening to for 10 years already. Because I developed the habit of listening to preaching as a teenager. I got that habit early. You see, hearing has made me walk. It has made me live. It has made me please God. It has made me go in my ministry. It has given me a good report. I was used to listening. In fact, I learned how to listen to preacher. I don't pray without listening. You will not find me praying without putting on preaching. Even up to today. Even up to this morning. Pastors who you pray, there's no sound. You cannot pray for long. That night, at about 7, I started to just pray. Nothing unusual. I was not expecting anything to happen. As much as I'm not expecting to land on the moon today. And I knelt down by my bed. And as I knelt down by my bed, I fell asleep. And as I fell asleep, in the middle of the night, I woke up again. And I was on my knees, still on my knees. And as I was on my knees, the tape was over there playing. And suddenly, something jumped out of the tape and entered into my belly. It came into me. I felt it. And then I heard a voice in the room. And the voice said, "From today, you can teach. From today, you can teach." I was 25 years old. He said, "From today, you can." And then another voice came different from that one said, "And I will prove it to you." Listen to me. It's been more than 25 years since I was 25 years old. And he has been proving it to me. That's why I said here, the Makane original, from today, you can teach. Those were the words I heard. From today. And from that moment, I became a teacher. I became an anointed teacher. I became an anointed teacher. Because there is no way I would have even written all these books. All these things I'm writing, they are quite unique subjects. They are quite unique subjects. It's an anointing. With millions and in different languages. People buying the books in India, in Bangladesh, Vietnam, all over the place. By hearing. Now, what happened that day? I received the anointing. Look at Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 2. What does it say? It says, and the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me.
Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 2. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet.
Wow.
That I heard him that spake unto me.
The Spirit did what?
Entered into me.
How many want the anointing to enter into you? That's what happened to me that night. I caught the anointing. Everybody say, catch the anointing. Steps to the anointing. I took a step into the anointing. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 44, Peter was preaching. Peter was preaching. Listen to this verse. While Peter yet spake these words, the Spirit fell on those who were hearing the preaching. Hearing the preaching. You don't listen to preaching. That is why you are nothing much in the ministry. You never walk the walk you are supposed to walk. You will never live the life. You will never have the good report. You will never please God. Without faith, which means without hearing, you cannot please God. Without hearing, you cannot please God. Without faith, you cannot please God. Therefore, without hearing, you cannot please God. Because faith comes by hearing. Yeah. And I was hearing that night. I was hearing. I'm still hearing. Without hearing, you cannot do much. Yes. So, today we've also provided you with all these. And I know it's going to be a great blessing to you. The Makane. This one, I don't know how much it's called, but I think it's about $25. You can buy it. You can copy it. You can do whatever you want. We are not doing business. We are not doing business. We are doing ministry. Please understand, we are not doing business here. We are doing ministry. We are sharing with you something that will transform your whole life and your whole ministry and make you become fruit, exceedingly fruitful, and either a nation or a king. Either a nation or a king. I'll make you a city. Nations shall come of thee and kings. These are the only two options. You are either a nation or a king. If you are a seed of Abraham, you are either a nation or a king. I said you are either a nation or a king. 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 And I'm sharing with you the keys that will put you out there and make you a nation or a king. Listen, God wants you to rise up and be established in his work. So I'm sharing with you the keys. Reading. Yes, knowledge, the key of knowledge. By wisdom a house is built. Psalm 104 verse 24. Psalm 104 verse 25. How manifold are thy works, O Lord? In wisdom thou hast made them all. Look at it. How manifold. So many works. So many works you've done, O God, in wisdom you've made them all. Read it.
Psalm 104 verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. Mm. In wisdom thou hast made them all.
In wisdom.
The earth is full of thy riches.
The earth is full of thy riches.
Wow.
How manifold, how many works. God is good. One day that will be used to describe you. How manifold are thy works. Many things you've done for God in wisdom. Thou hast made them all. Stand to your feet, everybody.
What a conference.
Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, thanks a million for everybody here who's been touched by your wonderful spirit, your masterful spirit. Receive the anointing right now. Receive light. Receive inspiration. Receive direction. God is taking you higher. God has given you the key of knowledge, key of wisdom. How manifold are thy works, O Lord? In wisdom, thou hast made them all. God is going to do many, many works in your life. Many, many, many works. In wisdom, thou hast made them all. Father, I thank you for raising up wonderful pastors and wonderful churches in Shijavani. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anoint them with fire, with light. Ah, let the light burn and shine. Let there be no darkness here at all. All pastors, all churches, let them come aflame. Let them expand and grow and become better and greater and mightier in the ministry. We give you thanks, Father. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Now, before I take my leave, I just want to share one thing from this magnificent book. Tell them 120 reasons why you must be a soul winner. Amen. I've ended, but I just want to say this before I go. And that is, we must arise to obey God's greatest commands. The Great Commission has been called the Great Commission. I think it was given that name by William Carey. A commission that is very great. Now, every one of us must pledge to become the mighty soul winners. Why? Because they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars. Why? Because he that winneth souls is wise. Why? Because he that has my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. John 14:21. And he that loveth me shall be loved of by my Father. And we shall come unto him, and I shall manifest myself to him. You are due for a manifestation of God's power in your life. A manifestation of God's grace in your life. And that comes by becoming a great soul winner, even as a shepherd, rising up and winning souls on a daily, 100% all the time basis. God is going to change your life and make you a greater minister. All right. So this is the Great Commission. This is the big one. It's question one. I said it's question one in the exam. The Great Commission, the compulsory question. Soul winning. That's why I'm here. I have already big church. I have everything. I have a car with air conditioner in it already. My car has air condition in it. My car has CD music. I'm blessed. Amen. I don't need anything. You get it? But I have to obey the Master's Great Commission. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm Shijavani. I've never heard of Shijavani before. Just like if I mention a town in Ghana, you've never heard of it. But there are people there. There are people there. There are people everywhere. People need the Lord. And people will be blessed. And you will be blessed more by going to preach the gospel and by pastors. Do you know one of the strangest sights is to see a pastor witnessing? It's almost like seeing a lion walking in Harare, on the street of Harare. Is to see a pastor witnessing to people and telling people about Jesus Christ. It has been left for like zealous new believers. A pastor whose work it is to win souls rarely wins souls. I look so strange as a pastor amongst many pastors. What am I doing here? Because I'm a pastor. Originally, I'm a pastor. You may say evangelist, but really, I'm a pastor. A good shepherd leaves the 99 and goes to look for the lost. It's actually the work of a good shepherd is an evangelist. When you are a good shepherd, you can become an evangelist. People will not know whether you are a shepherd or an evangelist. Because a good shepherd leaves 99, goes to look for the lost. People need Jesus Christ. Amen. Lift your hand, say, I shall be a soul winner. And I'm going to tell people about Jesus. Amen. Now, before I take my seat, give me some envelopes. No envelopes today? Now, I believe that when a ministry like this visits you, if you are spiritual and you also want the key to prosperity, your duty is to sow a seed. It's an obligation, because Galatians 6:6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate to the one who teaches in all good things. Thank you. We didn't come here to sell things to you. That's why this it costs. These books are sold in Bulawayo. The price is there, it's $10. You can go and look for it there. This is $10. When I tell you that I'm giving it to you, we are just dashing it to you. But as spiritual, I want to lift you up and cause, help you to walk in blessings and even financial blessings. And so, really, this is the group that I'm interested in. Those of you who have come for the pastor's conference, I believe that out of your church and out of you as an individual, you must plant a seed. There is no prosperity without giving. You know, we were in Sierra Leone once. Our truck fell over the hill. You know, only one church came to us with an offering of money. So we've heard that your church, your truck where you came with the crusade has fallen down. And here is some money to help. Only one church. And it's the most prosperous church. All the other church, poverty-stricken churches, they don't give anything. Poverty-stricken churches don't give. It's a characteristic of a poor man. He doesn't give. True or not true? Yes. So today I am giving you an option here. Some of you from your church, you must give $100, $50, $1,000, $500, $20, $10, whatever it is, to say, hey, we are also spiritual. You have sown a seed, we also sow a seed. You sow a seed, we sow a seed. You sow a seed, we sow a seed. At least you can pay for fuel for us to go from here to, what's the next place called? Mashiko. Mashringo. Yeah. Mashringo. I've also not heard of it before. But there are people there. There are people there. There are people everywhere waiting for Jesus. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage all pastors, sow a seed from your church's money, from your personal, whatever it is. It's the same thing. And God will go to bless you. This is your chance to also do something spiritual. You don't have to give. Whether you give or you don't give, we are here. And whether you give or you don't give, we are going to the next. We have not budgeted with your money. We have not budgeted with your money. We are giving you a chance to be spiritual and to plant a seed so that you may reap a great harvest as well. That is what we are doing. So, people need the Lord. And if you are here today and you want to be part of this special offering, come to the front and take this envelope. And tonight at the conference, at the crusade, you bring it to the bucket and put it in there. Whatever you have, even if you have a petrol station or you want to pay for the petrol, we prefer even that one to the money. We prefer. We are not in need of money. We are in need of you to sow a seed. Yes, that is a blessing. Amen. You can come for my envelope. Doctor, I think you can help me to give out the envelopes. Anybody want to sow a seed, you can come now. Wow. Tell your neighbor, I will never be the poverty chairman of Shijavani. Never, 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 never. I will never allow that position to be given to me. I will never accept it. The position of chairman of poverty club of Shijavani.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cry. Only Jesus can. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open.
Father, bless your pastors, your churches, your children in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome, a doctor.
Hallelujah. Let your hand clap be louder. This is a conference of a lifetime, and we thank evangelists for the fantastic teachings, the impartation